If God has been glorified in him, God also glorified him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. I come in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. So if you think this looks bad, you should see the car that hit me. So on Friday evening, still broad daylight, let it be known, I was riding my bicycle down Chippewa Street, and a car pulled out in front of me and smashed right into me. So I have a dislocated AC joint right here, multiple things on my face. So just a PSA, watch for cyclists. Watch for cyclists, because it definitely hurts. So watch for cyclists. So oftentimes I take walks with my toddler daughter in my South City neighborhood. And oftentimes when we're walking, we find all sorts of treasures strewn throughout the ground, on the sidewalk, in the ditches, treasures that toddlers just can't stand but to get their hands on. Treasures like half-drunk Pepsi cans, treasures like White Castle boxes, you know, with a little bit of onion still left over inside. Lollipops that have ants all over them, chewed gum, used needles sometimes, used other things I don't want to talk about. I live in an exciting neighborhood in South City. And for a toddler, when they see all these treasures, these are all toys to play with, right? These are all new sensations to experience or new flavors to taste. So lately, I've been teaching my daughter about what is clean and what is unclean. And I use a kind of scholarly term for this, yucky. That's yucky, Alice, don't touch it. That's yucky, don't mess with it. And interestingly, she's learning about what is clean and what is unclean. So now when we go on walks, she sees trash and says, yucky, that's yucky. And I had to teach her that, right? She wasn't going to make that connection by herself. And I think all of us, at one point or another, someone taught us what was clean and unclean. Or else we'd still be picking up gum from the sidewalk and chewing it, right? So thank God someone taught us what is clean and what is unclean. And my fear is, and I don't think this is an unrealistic fear or a strange fear, it's that somehow my toddler will touch the unclean thing and herself become contaminated. Or maybe somehow ingest the unclean thing and become contaminated. Or get it on her clothes or bring it in to my house and then my house becomes unclean or contaminated. So this is a regular parenting thing that we do, teaching folks and our children what is clean and unclean. We've probably all done it if we have children. But what we might not know is that this practice of teaching what's clean and unclean is a very biblical practice. In fact, there's an entire book of the Bible called Leviticus that is dedicated to making a distinction between what is clean and what is unclean, what is yucky and what's not yucky. Also, it makes for great story time at bedtime for your toddler, Leviticus. Try it out. So let me read you a chapter from Leviticus. This is chapter 11. You shall not eat the following: camel. It is unclean for you. Now, unclean in the Hebrew is taume. Can everyone say that? Taume. Go ahead. Taume. Now you know Hebrew. You can take that back with you. So continuing, the hare, it is taume. It is unclean. The pig, it is taume for you. Of these you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. They are taume. And there's more. Anything in the seas or the streams that does not have fins and scales, there goes your crawdad boil. Of the swarming creatures that are in the waters, they are detestable. They're yucky to you, and detestable they shall remain. Of their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall regard detestable. And there's still more. All winged insects that walk upon all fours are detestable to you. By these you shall become unclean, taume. Whoever touches the carcass of any of them shall be taume until their evening bubble bath. I put that one in there. That's actually not in there. Taume. I'm going to start using that when we go on walks. Alice, that's taume. Don't touch that. Taume. Later on in Leviticus, it goes on to say this. When a woman gives birth and bears a male child, she shall be unclean, taume, for 7 days. But if a man loses the hair of his head, he is bald, but he is clean, tahor, clean, not taume. So, male pattern baldness, totally fine. Childbirth, disgusting. So if you've ever wondered who sat on the Levitical board, wonder no longer, right? We could go on reading Leviticus for hours about what is clean and what is unclean. It lists all sorts of things, from nocturnal emissions, and we're not talking about the thing that you get your car tested for, by the way, to where you place porta-potties, to what sort of sacrifices that you do, to the mold in your house. There's all these lists of what is clean and what is unclean. And why is that? Well, it's because you got to know what's unclean so you can keep yourself away from the uncleanliness, so that you yourself do not get contaminated. Because you're supposed to be a holy, a clean, a set-apart people. So you've got to know what's clean and unclean so that you don't get contaminated. And on one level, that's okay, right? It's good that we teach our children not to eat garbage. It's a good thing. And all of us have lists of taume, of what we can and cannot ingest in our bodies. For some of us, McDonald's is taume, right? For others, vegetables are taume. We all have our list, and that's fine. It starts becoming problematic, though, when people make the list. When people become unclean. When people become taume. In Leviticus and throughout the Old Testament, we have this list of people. In Leviticus, it says that if you have a skin disease of some sort, sometimes known as leprosy, you are unclean. And because you were unclean, you had to live outside the city walls by yourself in isolation, excluded from community. And if anyone came by and saw you or came in arm's distance from you, you had to yell out, "Taume, taume, unclean, unclean," because you didn't want to contaminate the chosen people, the holy people. Folks with physical disabilities were considered unclean. They weren't able to go into the holy of holy places. They couldn't contaminate the sacrifices. So it reads, "For no one who has a defect shall approach to offer the sacrifices, a blind man or a lame man, or he who has a disfigured face," I guess I'm out, "or any deformed limbed," double out, "or a hunchback, or a dwarf, or one who has a defect in his eye or eczema or scabs. He shall not go into the veil or come near the altar because he has a defect, so that he will not profane my sanctuaries. You got to keep the church. You got to keep religion clean. You got to keep the tam way from the altar, lest you pollute the clean religion. And he goes on to talk about different nationalities, different ethnicities. They're also unclean. No Ammonite or Moabite shall enter the assembly of the Lord. None of their descendants, even to the 10th generation, shall ever enter the assembly of the Lord. Because those guys are Taumeh. They're unclean because of who they are. In the book of Ezra, we read about Ezra the priest, who comes back to the land of Israel from his Babylonian exile. And he brings with him all the elite of the people, the rich folks, the educated folks. And when they come back to the land, they see that the folks who they had left behind, the poorer classes, people who they were related to, children of Israel, had intermingled with the unclean people. They started having relationships with the unclean people. They started marrying the unclean people, having children with the unclean people, with Canaanites and Hittites and Perizzites and Jebusites and Ammonites and Moabites and Egyptians and Amorites and Chesterfieldites and Presbyterians and Unitarians and Pentecostals, all sorts of unclean people. And the elite, along with Ezra, look at this and they're disgusted. How in the world can you have relationships with these Tamways? And so he writes, "Now, our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken your commandments, which you have commanded by your servants the prophets, saying, the land which you are entering to possess is an unclean land, Taumeh, with the uncleanliness of the peoples of the land, with their abominations, which you have filled it from end to end, and with their impurity. So now do not give your daughters to their sons, nor take their daughters to your sons, and never seek their peace or their prosperity, that you may be strong, and that you may eat the good things of the land, and leave it as an inheritance to your sons forever." Taumeh. The way to deal with this, at least according to Ezra the priest, was to put away your spouses, your unclean spouses. Was to put away your children, your unclean children. And of course, to build up a wall to keep the Taumeh out, so that you wouldn't be defiled by the uncleanliness. Lists of clean and unclean, they're fine as long as they stay with food. But so often there are other people who get put on that list, whether they be different religions, different ethnicities, whether they have different customs, different socioeconomic backgrounds. People get placed on the list of Taumeh. And Taumeh turns into policies. Policies like redlining. Policies that brought us the Delmar Divide. Policies about building a wall to keep the Taumeh out. Because you got to know who's unclean so that you can keep yourself at a safe distance from the uncleanliness so that you won't get contaminated. Sometime during Brother Peter's life, his parents taught him what was clean and what was unclean, what was Taumeh and what was Tahor. And before we go any further, I just want to point out, this was not a Jewish problem, right? This wasn't a Hebrew issue. All religions and all people have lists of what is clean and unclean. But someone in Peter's life had taught him what food was unclean, and also that the people who ate that food were also unclean. The Gentiles were unclean. And one day at around 6 o'clock, he was on his rooftop praying, and he has this trance where this sheet comes down from heaven with all sorts of Taumeh on it, with creepy crawly insects, with snakes, pigs, maybe there's a camel or two. And he hears this voice that says, "Peter, here's your supper. Take, kill, and eat." And Peter says, no way, none of that stuff has ever touched my lips. It's unclean, it's talmeh. But the voice says, get over it, Peter. Take and eat. Because what I have declared holy, you cannot declare profane. And it happens three times. And each time Peter says, no, that's unclean. It's got to stay at a distance. I don't want it to contaminate me. And then he wakes up. And he thinks, wow, that was kind of weird. And then there are these Gentiles that show up. These talmeh who try to get Peter to go over to their friend's house, who is himself a Gentile. And not just a Gentile, but a member of the Roman army, a member of the occupying force. And not just a member of the occupying force, but a centurion, a commander of the occupying force. This is like triple talmeh, right? Right in front of him. Triple yuck. Triple unclean. And I think it's at that moment that Peter says, I get it. That sheet wasn't about food, was it? This was about people. When God said, you can't declare unholy what I've declared holy, God's talking about people. And so he goes with them, and lo and behold, big surprise, he sees that the same Holy Spirit that indwelled within him and his people was also working in the people that he thought were talmeh. He saw holiness within them. And when you see holiness within a people, it's hard to continue to label them as unclean or as unworthy or as yucky or as talmeh or whatever you want to call it. In our scripture this morning, we hear that there's a rumor going around that Peter had done this. That not only had he went with the talmeh, but that he broke bread with them, that he ate with them, and that he even recognized them as part of God's community. So the people, the apostles and the brethren, they say, Peter, you went and ate with the uncircumcised. What were you doing? And I think it's interesting, too, that the reason why these folks were unclean were about what they ate and what they did with their private parts. Uncircumcised and what they ate. And the brethren say, Peter, you can't do this because they'll contaminate the whole bunch. This is just a slippery slope. If you start calling them holy, then they'll want to get married. You'll have to bake their wedding cake for them. If you call them holy, then you're going to have to take pictures of their ceremony. Peter, what are you doing? Talmeh alert, right? And before we get too judgmental on the apostles and the brethren, you've got to remember that they were a minority within the empire. And these lists were about cultural identity. These lists were passed down to them throughout the ages. And in fact, these lists were biblical. So they believed that they were upholding God's will. But I love Peter's response. He doesn't chastise them. He doesn't argue with them. He doesn't lecture them about not being inclusive enough. He doesn't tell them, hey guys, get into the first century already, right? That circumcision stuff was so BC. Let's get with the times. Instead, he tells them a story of his own experience. He says, you know what, guys, I was on the same page as you. And then I had this weird trance where the sheet came down and there was all these unclean animals. And I heard this voice that said, what I have declared clean, you can't declare profane. And these guys showed up and I went with them. And as it turns out, I saw the Holy Spirit at work within their lives. I was just as surprised as you were. And yes, I ate with them. Yes, I broke bread with them. But guess what? The talmeh didn't contaminate me because, as it turns out, there really wasn't any talmeh to begin with. Because what God has declared holy, who was I to declare unclean? Who was I to get into God's way? And I can see the brethren and Peter arguing back and forth with one another. The brethren saying, yeah, but the scripture says talmeh. And Peter says, well, that's great and I respect that. But I heard a voice speak to me that said, what I declare clean, you cannot declare unclean. I can hear the brethren say, yeah, but tradition says, Tame. And Peter says, yeah, I know and I respect that, but my experience showed me that the Holy Spirit works within these folks, that they too are holy. And in that moment, Peter's story led to the conversion of the church, where they recognize God's Spirit within a group of people that they thought were dirty or unclean or taume. One of the things that I love about Scripture is that it's so dang relevant, isn't it? These same issues that we're dealing with today about clean and unclean were written about 2,000 years ago. You've heard of these religious freedom laws, right? Yeah? Not just me? Right. But that's just a way to keep the unclean folks away from the clean folks. To keep the clean folks from being contaminated by the unclean folks. And isn't it interesting that back in Acts, it was about what people did with their private parts, right? It seems to be history repeating itself again. There's all sorts of people on the list of taume, whether that be immigrants or refugees or Muslims or people who live in the wrong zip code or poor people. We have our list of taume, and they are strong, and they are just as extensive as the list in Leviticus, and probably written by the same type of demographic as well. But thank God that there are people who've had a trance, who've had a vision, and they've heard a voice that said, what I've declared clean, you cannot declare unclean. Thank God for folks whose own experience has been that they have recognized the Holy Spirit within all people, within Jews and Gentiles, within clean and unclean. And they've noticed that God's Holy Spirit makes no distinction of persons. And it's up to the people who've had these visions and these trances to tell us a story that all people are holy. All people are holy. And that can be a bit frightening for some folks. It can be threatening, because if all people are holy, what about my people? Maybe I'm not as chosen as I thought. If all people are holy, then we've got no excuse to make the dang wedding cake, right? If all people are holy, then I've got no excuse to separate myself from those people who are considered unclean or yucky. If all people are holy, then we've got a lot of work to do. But who are we to stand in the way of a God who makes no distinction between people? Amen.